Dad's Army, 9 o'clock, Channel 5, the Bible. It's all right, wasn't it? We thought it was going to be low-budget USA, but it wasn't really, was it? It was all right. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody don't know what I'm talking about? It's a five series, hour and a half, every Saturday night on Channel 5 about the Bible. Very documentary, dramatic. What else? Help me. Thrilling, exciting.
They did miss some bits out, didn't they?
Yeah, they did miss some bits out, and they did get some bits. Did they get anything wrong? Yeah, but it's all right, isn't it? Yeah. They don't know it all like us, do they? I like the burning bush. It was pretty big, wasn't it? It didn't take their shoes off, no. And I wanted to see the rod turn into a snake, but they didn't. There's so much they had to leave out. But generally speaking, it goes right the way through to the book of Revelation. You all right, Lulu?
Yes, sir.
All right. So I thought it was pretty good. All right, I'm glad I said all that. when was the 24th of November? Was that last week?
Last Sunday.
Well, we were in our place in Lancaster, and a lady came up and gave us a prophetic word, which I think is really tremendous. And I said to Chris, can I share it with this lot? Do you want to hear it?
Yeah.
Because I really think it could be for you if you wish to take it. And it's in the book of Leviticus. Could you imagine that? Right in Leviticus, you've got this incredible word. So I'm going to read it out. It's Leviticus 26, verse 9. I'm going to read it out in the NIV, which is the nearly infallible version, and then from the Message. So here it is, the Lord saying, I will look or lean on you with favor. Now, I can't get that out of my head. I will lean on you with favor. Don't you like that? Who can I lean on? All right, Dave, much. Yeah. It's looking is like that, you know. Not like that, but like that. But leaning, there's something about leaning, isn't there?
Yeah.
And we could go into an old Pentecostal chorus, but I won't, because I'll get a look from Chris about leaning on the
everlasting arm.
Yeah. So it says, I'll look or lean on you with favor. And now, think about this as you as an individual, maybe couple, family, but also as church. Make you fruitful and increase your numbers. Well, what about that? And I will keep my covenant with you. You will still be eating last year's harvest when you will have to move it out to make room for the new. That's not bad, is it? I will put my dwelling place among you, and I will not despise you, but I will walk among you and be your God, and you will be my people. That really touched us. Now listen to it from the Message, which is interesting. I'll give you my full attention. Do you know, I think God is brilliant, don't you? What God in this universe, small g, would give big G God, would be the same as him to give us our full attention. Now, if I was the Lord and looking at you, flip your neck, and you probably would want to respond to me in the same way. But God wants to give us his full attention. That means giving you the eye. I think it's wonderful. I'll make sure you prosper. Well, don't know what to say about that. Make sure you grow in numbers and keep my covenant with you in good working order. You'll still be eating from last year's harvest when you have to clean out the barns to make room for new crops. Then he says, remember I said, I'll walk among you. It says here in the Message, I'll set up my residence in your neighborhood. That's pretty good. I won't avoid or shun you. I'll stroll through your streets. I'll be your God and you can be my people. I think that's great. I just like this sort of, I can't do it. I've not got the ethnic background, but you know, just strolling. I'm sure some of you can, but I won't ask you. Strolling, I just love that. In fact, that word strolling can be connected to God walking with the man and the woman in the garden. So what God did, he wasn't in any hurry. He just strolled. Isn't that wonderful? Yeah. And if you think laterally, you might go to the first chapter of the book of Job, mightn't you? No. where it says, the Lord said to Satan, where have you been? He says, I've been rushing throughout the earth. So God strolls and, you know, pays us full attention, but the enemy's running around trying to destroy. And isn't that interesting? Yeah. Well, I didn't mean to say any of that, Dave, so thank you for that. So I'm going to look at the book of Ruth, not the whole book, just a bit in chapter 1, book of Ruth, and talk about that, because I do believe there's something here for us. Page 259 in mine. The book of Ruth is read at Shavuot or Pentecost in the synagogues. But there is such a connection to the church with the book of Ruth. Think about the day of Pentecost in Acts 2. The book of Ruth is read, and then suddenly the Holy Spirit moves, and there's a new birth of a church. And to me, there's something of a personal journey that we'll get to look at by this woman. I really wouldn't mind being involved in some sort of revival, would you? No. Yeah, revival does mean primarily raise the dead. So any Anglicans? I'm an Anglican, so it says the dead in Christ shall rise first. That was a joke. But it wasn't very good, was it? No. I'm getting worse, mate. But revival does mean that. But I just long for a move of God. God's sovereignty connected to our personal responsibility. There's something there, isn't there? But you see, first and foremost, corporately, that would be brilliant. But I'm really after personal revival. Really wanting to stir people's hearts so that they are personally revived. Imagine if we all came in personally revived and on fire, moving in our frailty, in our weakness, as we heard just now, and all of that, because we're sort of fallible and fallen, frail people, aren't we? But out of our brokenness, we can move in His strength. I've gone, I'm back, and His power. Can't we? Yeah, you can answer, you can shout, you can do what you like. You can speak in Scouse if you like. I had difficulty hearing, understanding Abby Clancy last night. Did you?
Yeah.
You're good. Was it all right? Did you?
I can see.
All right. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah. But I'm interested in that. Imagine us all coming in. The synergy would be fantastic, because something would be greatly explosive in nature, wouldn't it? So whatever we're thinking is happening, and I think there is a real shake of the hand of God throughout the world. I didn't say judgment, shaking. Judgment will come later, maybe. But shaking. And I think the church is being shaken. There's a lot of issues happening in churches, not just in the Northwest, but right across the, gone back the board. Is it when I move funny? Oof. All right. I'll try not to move funny. All right. And I'm interested in that. And Ruth, to me, really does sort of pick that up, I think. So it's a bit of carpe diem, isn't it? Which means seize the day. Yeah. Oh, sorry. I nearly seized my ear with my glasses then. So this is the thing. What this, to me, refers to, as we go through the book of Ruth, it's something called symbolism or typology. So we'll talk about this Old Testament story, but there's an interpretation which comes right into today. I really believe that. And so Ruth could be a type of the church. Boaz, who she meets, is like a symbol, a type of Jesus Christ. Naomi, to me, is a type of the Jewish nation. Ruth had a sister. Anybody know her name? Orpah or Orpha? Do you know what her name means? Stiff-necked. Orpah is a type of turning back. You know, the whinging charismatics that turn back, that will not go into God's best and God's destiny. So there's a whole thing here about how God, I think, uses a bitter, broken woman called Naomi to touch a foreigner, an alien, a non-Jew. And through them meeting, this woman, Ruth, finds God in a most amazing way. That gives me a lot of hope. and she comes right into the lineage of Jesus Christ. She was a great-grandmother, I think, of King
David.
Correct. And then in the lineage of Jesus. There are three or four foreign ladies that are in there, in that lineage, which says to me the grace of God, because he's opening the door for ultimately Jew and Gentile to become one. I reckon that's one interpretation of the two witnesses in the Revelation, don't you? The Jew and the Gentile. Just a thought, I don't know. Just thought I'd throw that in. Don't sort of dwell on that too much. Just come with me. That would be nice. And it's to me when Ruth had a child whose name was Obed, whose name means servant, they gave Obed to Naomi to feed, to suckle. Now, culturally speaking, that is not good in this culture, is it? No. Our eldest daughter, Joanna, was married in South Africa, and she didn't want it to happen, and I don't know whether it did, but it wasn't a problem for the black woman to pass round our granddaughter and give her a suckle, you know. Just thought you'd like to know that. Wouldn't happen here, would it? But what it says to me is this. They said, Naomi has a son. And it connects. I'm talking about this now because I haven't got time to do any more later. It talks about a union of Jew and Gentile. There's something hidden that's going to be revealed, I think, in this book about that. So we won't have time to get into that, will we? What do you mean, no? No, it's true. It's true. It's a move towards restoration, renewal, revival. It's a story of romance and redemption where a woman comes to Israel and finds her beloved, finds the kinsman redeemer, the man in the family who has got the ability to really restore the broken Naomi and Ruth herself. They came back with nothing. The key verse could be, to me, chapter 2, verse 2. It says, I want to go out into the fields and pick up the leftovers. Now, if you forget everything else, can I encourage you to move on from the leftovers? Because there's something in our destiny that calls us to go further into the fullness, the abundance of our inheritance in God. If you want to hang around with the leftovers, I wondered what you're doing. It's behind me, isn't it? I just realized. If you want to stay with the leftovers, that's fine. But can I encourage you not to stay there? So, Lord, would you send a few cruise missiles out to these dear people and affect them somewhere on their anatomy so that they actually, there probably, so that they actually move into their calling. You have a calling in God. You have an inheritance and a destiny that is much greater than where you are, haven't you? Yes. I believe it. It's not just those two. It's all of us, isn't it? Yes, I'm sure some of you are really responding in your hearts and saying, good grief, what's he on about? Well, we'll get there. Are you ready to move on into God's best? The key, as we'll see, I'm just starting in about a minute's time. Is that all right? What time do we finish? The key is identity and destiny. I want to know where I'm going. I want to know what God's given me. I want to know my destiny and my inheritance in God, don't you? But I'll tell you, I'll know it much more if I know who I am. If I've got my identity, if I know who I am, I can then go towards what God has got for me. So who you are is crucial. I'm in Christ. Let's start there. And then we can move on. I need to come another time for that one, don't I? Yes, you said. So you've got this princess. She probably was a princess with her sister Orpah, who came into God's purposes and met Naomi's God. Do you think I need to mention Eglon? Start at the beginning. Well, I've sort of meandered around. Chris says I need to start at the beginning. Well, in Judges somewhere, there's a king called Eglon. Have you heard of him? And he was a big, fat king, colossal. And probably Ruth and Orpah were either his daughters or his granddaughters. I'm not quite sure. It's not that clear. But the Jews were after him. And one day, a guy called Ehud, who was from the tribe of Benjamin, he was left-handed. Therefore, his sword was on the other side. He went into where the king was. It says the king was in a chamber. Do you know where, what that might... Yes. Yeah, okay, there. And he took his sword out, because they'd searched the wrong side, and stuck the sword into the stomach of Eglon. And the stomach went... and sucked the sword, right, and then it disappeared. Let's get all that out of the way, shall we? And he died. Thought you'd like to know that. So he had or granddaughters or daughters, Naomi and Ruth. Verse 1, there was a famine in the land, and a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. You need to know that Moab was the incestuous relationship stroke son of Lot and one of his daughters. Therefore, I'm not so clear I want to go down to Moab, even when there's famine in Bethlehem, house of bread or house of word, Judah, house of praise, house of spirit. We're called to live with spirit and word, aren't we? And when there's a little bit of famine, I don't want to get itchy feet and go down to Moab. That is a wrong decision. Thank God that when people like me make wrong choices, are irresponsible, make wrong decisions, there's always a way back. God is not the God of the second chance. Do you know that? In my case, he's the God of the 50th chance or more. And I just love him for that, don't you?
Yeah.
We do. We do. And they went down. His name was Elimelech. I've just gone over about five pages here. Do you realize that? That's quite good. Whose name is My God is King. That's not bad. My God is King. Names in the Old Testament often refer to character. So his mum and dad named him My God is King. But as we'll see, he made wrong choices. I don't think he really lived that out. And he had a wife called Naomi, which means pleasant one or gracious one. And they had two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. Mahlon means sick, and Chilion means weakness or dying. Imagine calling, you know, sickly Mitchell, weak Hepden. Imagine that. So you got, my God is king, and you got pleasant, nice, gracious, and you got sick and weak. That's quite a paradox, isn't it? Is she been? Where's she gone?
She's teaching the little ones.
Where's she? I thought it was partial rapture here, mate. Can't have that. Look at an egg. I heard that. They were Epaphrites from Bethlehem, Judah. Epaphrites basically means doubly fruitful. Remember that. So you've got My God is King and pleasant with two sons. Now, if My God is King, I'm not going to name my sons weakly and sick or that sort of thing, are you? I can't believe it. So he may have had something taken on, but I don't think he was living in the fact that My God is King. So he made a choice. I mean, he was a rich man. He had land and all that sort of thing, says the rabbinical commentary. But they decided to go down. Some of us are fickle, aren't we? I'm talking to myself. You know, we just react into situations when really we need to take a step back and stand. Because that decision caused chaos. And yet, I love the scripture because it does say, all things work together for good. And I think that means that God comes into the situation, which may be sort of destructive, damaging, and he takes the good out of the situation. I really do. And we're not immune from catastrophe, are we? No, I don't live in this sort of, you know, this sort of strong thing over me that shields me from it. Who knows what's going to happen? But God will take the good out of it. He doesn't threaten us by saying, obey me or be X. He doesn't do that. He doesn't say, Steve, you better do that, otherwise I'll break your leg, and then I'll heal it, and it'll be all. He doesn't do that. But what he does, because of our own irresponsibility, because of sin in the world, because of satanic things and the demonic powers and all of that, there is a battle. He will take the good. By the way, I've read the end of the book, haven't you?
Yep.
Who wins? It's getting there, isn't it? It's like I don't mind stepping through into the next dimension through death, but I'm not sure I want to talk about how I might die. But going through it is fine, because he's defeated death. Perhaps I want him to defeat the way in which we do die. Never mind. Think about that. So down they went, doubly anointed. And the boys married the Moabite women, one Orpah and the other Ruth. Now Elimelech died, so Naomi was left with two daughters and two sons. And then, blow me down, the boys Peggit. They both died. So she was left. Naomi was left with the two girls. They were only going down, it says, sojourn. They were only going down for a short period, you know, a weekend or two, 10 years. They got caught 10 years. And they ended up, father dies, sons dies. She ends up with nothing. And the girls, Ruth and Orpah, were there, ending up with nothing. Then she heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of his people back up in Bethlehem, Judah. Revival had begun. Isn't that typical, eh? You're on your last legs and you hear revival's come. That's typical. And she needed to make a choice. And she said to the girls, we're going to go back, or I'm going to go back. You two, you stay here, because if you want to come back with me, that would mean culturally that I'd have to get married, have children. If they are boys, they would grow up and then you can marry them. I mean, it's just ridiculous. And they said, no, we're not. We're going to stay with you. And all sorts of tears happened. Verse 10, 9, she kissed them, they wept aloud, and we're going to return. Naomi said, no, go, 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 go. I'm too old to have another husband. In fact, I'm going to change my name to Mara. Anybody know what that means?
Bitter.
Yeah, bitter. And she said, God has done this. Now, I have to say, God got the blame, and it's not God's fault. Who made the decisions? They did. And she tried to turn it around. So our God is faithful. He's gracious. He leans on us, remember, with favor, because he would not let them go. And even though Naomi changed her name to Bitter, our God held on. Listen, I don't know any of your circumstances. Really? That's funny, isn't it? I don't know what you're thinking about God or what you're thinking about your circumstances, but I want to tell you, God is faithful to you. What I love about God is, so many of these religions, we have to reach up to the God, but our God comes down. Now, I want to start talking about earth as well as heaven. You know, we talk about going to heaven, where that might be. If you live, anybody used to live in Australia here? Hello. Well, it says that Jesus is going to come back the same way that he went. Well, he went up. But in Australia, is up, up, or is it up, down? So we've got to go beyond that, haven't we? Isn't it strange? Yeah. But our God is faithful. So I want to talk about God coming to this earth. He always, in the garden, in the tabernacle of Moses, in the tent of David, in the big temples that Solomon built and then ultimately Herod. Day of Pentecost, he comes down. He wants to come down to where we are. Why? Because he wants to pursue you and me. Didn't mean to say any of this either. It's his fault. He prayed. He's after us. It's one thing for us to reach out. But I'm telling you, the Lord reaches out to you. He's pursuing you. You think, I don't know that. Well, I pray in Jesus' name that you'll have dreams about this. You'll wake up in the night and see an angel. Like Chris did a while back. And I was, she sees an angel. And I said, why didn't you wake me up? She says, he came to see me, not you. Didn't you? Oh, well, that's a cheek. Oi, less of that. Very, very important. So, verse 14, Orpah kissed the mother-in-law goodbye. But Ruth clung to her. Orpah, stiff-necked, quick kiss, off she went. Never hear of her again. But Ruth clung on. Isn't that great? In other words, she's a... Did you hear? It's exactly what I was going to say. Oh, Brian, you took the words. Ruth was a Klingon! I think that's so funny. Have I lost the plot here today? She held on and said, don't urge me to leave you or turn back from you. Where I go, where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. There I will be buried, and may the Lord deal with me if anything ever separates us. I'm telling you, this woman found a bitter woman's God in dire, catastrophic, cataclysmic, catatonic, anymore? No. Straits. I think it's fantastic. She saw our God in this broken woman. Isn't that amazing? And she says, I'm coming with you. Now, remember, she had no knowledge of Hebrew. She may have converted to Judaism to marry the boys, but she was an alien. She had to change everything. But that was beyond it. What she saw and suddenly touched in her heart was our God. And she says, I'm coming. She was pursuing him. He was pursuing. Now she's pursuing him. She was, a seeker after God's presence. The more we seek him, I think the more we draw near to him, the more he draws near to us. What about it here, you lot? What about it here? We're going to see these places filled with people. Look, you're on your way. We're not stopping here. We're not going to do an Orpah and be stiff-necked, are we? What Chris said, she might slap me later. What did you say? This is holy chaos in here this morning. I said, yeah, isn't it great? It's absolutely brilliant. If we only lived up the road, we'd be here, wouldn't we? It's great. There's life. I said, there's life here. There's life. Now, don't go dead on me now. There's life here. There's life. All the kids running around and being, you know, it's just something else. It's all right, isn't it? Prophecies coming, children looking at you and thinking, what are they, you know, one of, who is it? One of you, there, he's behind there trying to, he's behind here trying to preach, wasn't he? Yeah, I just loved it. It's life. And she caught something of this bitter woman. So they went back. They went back. And it was the time when the barley harvest was beginning. I think it's extreme determination, incredible confession. This is covenant. Chris and I, years back, were involved in leading a church in Bristol. I think 1 year we were officiating in marriage, at least a dozen couples, weren't we? We didn't have much time for holidays that year. But quite often we get them to read this out to one another. This is such a covenant in Ruth 1, 16 to 18. Absolutely marvelous. And there they were. They came back and they had nothing. And it caused a real stir. Everybody looked. We're getting there. What I love about her was that she didn't go on the job seeker's allowance. Benefits? Forget it. Here's what she said. Verse 2. It says, let me go into the fields and pick up the leftovers behind anyone in whose eyes I find favor. I think that's great, really. And the law said that the poor had a right to go into the fields and glean bits of leftover harvest. They were allowed to go into the corners. So you've got this woman who says, let me. Well, actually, the original says, I'm going. She decreed. She pronounced. She made a decree. It's like the decree in the book of Job. You will also declare or decree a thing, and it will be established. So light will shine on your ways. In other words, the message says you can decide what you want and it will happen. Now that's dangerous in its context alone, But you know, us Brits, I don't know about anybody else here, we're a little bit too polite with God. We are. We need a little bit of the Syrophoenician woman in us, don't we? Or blind Bartimaeus who had a shout. In other words, have you heard of this Yiddish term called chutzpah? It's chutzpah or something like that. Have a look at it. It means go for broke. It means, to me, more than nudge God in the ribs. Moses argued with God. Abraham argued with God. I'm not telling you what to do, but sometimes I think we're too polite. Sometimes we may need to name it and claim it and blab it and grab it and say it. Sometimes we might need to do that. Because we are a bit too British, aren't we? Oh, are you there, Lord? You know, and all this. She said, I'm doing it. And Naomi said, all right then, you know, out she goes. Now, I just love this because it says somewhere in one of the versions, it says, so it happened, or as it happened. And what's all this about? She goes out into the fields. Well, they weren't fields with great hedges. It was just one piece of land. And everybody who owned bits knew where their bit was. Well, Ruth didn't. So she goes out into this, you know, this whole area, and she lands up in this field, and she didn't know who owned it. It's an as it happened. I pray for as it happens, and I pray for suddenlies to come on you and Chris and I. Do you mind us coming in that prayer? That as we're going along, God breaks in because we're aware, we're open to the Spirit, and, you know, in our everyday life, and suddenly, as it happens, she's in the right place at the right time. And it says here, as it turned out, it says in here, verse 3, she found herself working in a field belonging to Boaz. By the way, his name means God is my strength. Boaz. Who was from the clan of Elimelech. Now, our next door, we got a real bunch next door. They're good, aren't they? Where we live up in Garstang. Not Garston, by the way. That's down here somewhere, isn't it? Yeah, Garstang. There's a little plaque. on the house, which says kin house. Kinship. Family. Did you like that? Thank you, Tobbs. Tabo, yeah, got it. It's all to do with family. Elimelech was a kinsman redeemer who had that ability, authority, and probably richness to help the family. He's a kinsman, but he's a redeemer. He had that ability to buy back, to purchase back. Now, you need to believe me, particularly in Colossians, Jesus is our kinsman redeemer. It's such a picture of Jesus. I can't do that little bit justice because there's something else that I really want to get on with. So what am I saying? By faith, we can decree. I love Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. Do you know it in the Authorized? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and all your ways. Acknowledge him and he would. Now listen to this in the Message. It says, trust God from the bottom of your heart. I love that, don't you? Trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything you do. Everywhere you go, he's the one who will keep you on track. Isn't that fantastic? It is. Trust God and go for it. Out she went. She was determined. Why? Because she'd seen and found God in a bitter, broken woman. She went back into a foreign land where she was an alien. We've been up here 20 years now. Anything north of Watford or Birmingham for us, living in Bristol, my loves, was, talk about aliens. They still think we speak funny. Yeah, do we speak funny? No. I had a lot of yeses and one no there, mate. Thank you. Oh, all right. I just think it's marvelous because as it happened, she stopped in that field. This is not a lucky break. I pray that the hand of God will just move you as to where he wants you to be. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That doesn't mean I can ask for anything. That means as we trust him, he will give us what he thinks we need. That's right. Very important. Happenings. It's not an accident, it's divine providence. And straight away, Boaz notices her. Now, Boaz, according to the tradition, is a widower. He's quite an older man, probably old enough, never mind, but he is. And he asked the foreman, well, whose young woman is that? Verse 5, chapter 2. Am I doing all right for time? Because I'm... You sure? I might need Svan Sigma Newton. Is that all right? Verse 10, Sie bitte? Oh, you would. Yeah. Oh, vielen Dank. Yeah. Well, who is she? She's that Moabitess girl, that foreigner who came back with from Moab with Naomi. And she says, can I glean? And we says, yes. And she's been working. And Boaz immediately, you see, what happens is her determination, her pursuing God, brings her into a place where the man who is kinsman redeemer, our type of Jesus, reaches out to her. So the first thing he says is, my daughter, listen to me. That's not bad. Don't go into any other field. Stay in my field. Hello? We could work on that for a few hours, couldn't we? Stay in my field. Now, I'm not talking about church. I'm talking about you and your heavenly Boaz, Jesus. Stay in my field. Isn't that amazing? Stay with us. Gather. Watch the field where the men are harvesting and follow along after the girls. Watch and follow. Watch and follow. Bit of discipleship there. I watch. Do you watch? Keep your eyes open. Watch. Take on the good stuff. It's all around you. The prophetic words, it's all around you. Even where the great one came out to prophesy and there wasn't time at the moment. I felt that was good. Didn't we, mate? Yeah. He responded pretty well, didn't he? Yeah. I like that kind of thing. I'm watching, thinking, God, this is good. Watch and follow. Watch and follow. And whenever you're thirsty, go and get a drink. Don't worry. Just drink. Hello. Don't worry. Just drink. Now, we can drink out there, can't we? You know, if you're thirsty, come unto me and drink it out of your belly. Innermost being will flow. Dribbles, drops, trickles. Rivers, not even streams, it's rivers. So we can walk down the road going, drinking, can't we? Or however you drink. Don't worry, just drink. Stay in my field, stay with me. I think some of you might be bordering on that funny word prodigal, you know? You might be here, but is your heart here with your Redeemer, with your kinsman Redeemer, with your heavenly Boaz? Stay with me. Follow. Watch. Drink. Isn't that amazing? And she says, why have I found such favor? Immediately, the grace of Boaz. Immediately, the favor of God. He wants to reach out and draw us in. It is sneaky, mind you, because the closer you get to him, the more exposed is your heart. Is that all right? You sure? It's all right now, but when it happens... But go with it. It's so important, isn't it? Say yes, yes. All right then. Why have I found such favor? I mean, I'm a foreigner. Hallelujah. And Boaz says, I've been told all about what you've done for your mother-in-law. I think he looks at us and says, Steve, I know all about you. My first word is flip. But I love him, don't you? Yeah, I know what's happened. May the Lord repay you. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings, Psalm 91, can't develop that you found refuge. Our refuge is under his wings, the everlasting arms around you. I think I heard something about that earlier on, didn't I? That's what I really responded to. And she said, may I continue to find favor. You've spoken kindly to me. Who's the kindest person in the whole world? It's got to be our God. He's kind. At the mealtime, Boaz said to her, come over here, have some bread. Dip it in the wine vinegar. Now, she's hardly done anything. She's come to pick a few leftovers And suddenly, he's reaching out by drawing her close. Stay with me, watch, follow, drink. Now come and have some bread, come and have some wine vinegar. I don't know what that is, but maybe it's a nice red, do you think? It's Romanian, oh, it's Bulgarian grot, isn't it? Yeah, Romanian's all right, yeah, okay. Yeah. And he sat down with her and offered her some roasted grain. And don't you think this is great? Verse 14, she ate all she wanted and had some left over. Hang on, they came with nothing. I'm going out to work, pick up a few leftovers, go through this whole thing, and suddenly she's eating more than is possible because she can't eat it all. She's got some left over. Isn't that amazing? So she's come into leftovers, but from a different method. She's got leftovers because she's filled. Do you see the process here? It's so brilliant. It really is. This is not what I'm saying. Is, you know, do you understand? Then he says, I mean, you'd have thought, praise God, there's something really going on here. By the way, it says, when he said, stay right here in this field, do you know what the word is? It's the same word as cling. He was saying to her, be a Klingon. Be a Klingon to me. That's what he was saying. I thought that was quite good. So he offers her protection, security, comfort, drink, vision. He protects her. Tells the men what to do. Full reward, under wings, favor of Boaz, favor of our God, ate all she wanted, had some left over. In other words, she's given more than enough. She had nothing left over, goes through this process, and suddenly she's given more than enough. Is that enough? Should we finish here? No, I'm going to carry on, because we've not even reached it. Isn't God good? I can jump up and down without this going up and down later now. I'm really pleased. Ha, ha, ha! So, verse 15, as she got up to glean, he says to his guys, boys, she says, even if she gathers amongst the sheaves, which she was not allowed to do, really, he says, don't embarrass her, let her do it, but go further. What you need to do is pull out some stalks for her from the bundles and leave them for her to pick them up. Hang on a minute. He's going beyond the requirements of the law. Do you know what he's saying? It says in the Authorized Version, give her handfuls of grain on purpose. Don't you like that? And he looks at us, he looks at you and me, our kingly Boaz, our Redeemer. He says, I want to give you more than you can contain. It's amazing. So he says to them, give her handfuls on purpose. In other words, deliberately, purposefully, give her more. So the Lord looks at you and said, oh, you know, the spirit of the Scrooge comes on the Lord. Just a little bit. That'll keep him going for a year. Our God isn't like that. He is able to do immeasurably, exceedingly, abundantly more than we can ask, dream, imagine, think of. Yes, comma, according to the power that works in us. The more we recognize the Holy Spirit and move in that way, the more the abundance comes. So she's walking along and she's got great handfuls of stuff. She's got great piles of stuff. Isn't it marvelous? Yes, you all said. Not a few pickings, not a few grotty old little bits, but great bundles of stuff. My goodness me. And she gleaned, she threshed and the barley, and it amounted to an ephah. Now remember that, because we'll finish in about 4 minutes plus. It's an ephah. It's like this great pile of stuff in her arms. And she goes home to Naomi, and the mother-in-law, the outlaw, verse 19, says, where did you glean today? Good grief! Where have you been? Blessed is the man who took notice of you. Now, she didn't know who he was. And Ruth said, well, that's interesting, because as it happens, remember, I went to a field, and the man is called Boaz. What? She says, what? Boaz. He's our close relative. He's one of our kinsmen redeemers. The type of Jesus who's redeemed us. He's bought us back from the penalty of sin and death by the blood that he shed. Yes. And we've come into the family, adopted into the family of God. Glory. Oh my goodness gracious. That is amazing. And he even said to me, says Ruth, stay with my workers until the harvest. That wouldn't be bad, would it? And she stayed close. Verse 23, that's the last verse of chapter 2. Ruth stayed close. Hello? Stay close. Stay close. I think we've learned, Chris and I, the more we stay close to... Is her face all right? I'm sitting on her lap here. Is it? The more we stay close to God, the closer we get to each other. That's just for us. Stay close to the Lord. Stay close. Because it's the place where harvest will come, isn't it? Yes. Right, I'm going to wind down now. Verse 25, so Ruth stayed close. Father, grandfather, dead with a sword. Princesses, grief, bereavement. Married, grief, bereavement. Nothing. Old stiff neck shoves off. I don't want to be a stiff necked charismatic Jew or evangelical or Pentecost, no. Because I want to push through, don't you? And you think, well, this can't be right. I've never done this before. Then don't be stiff-necked. Let's go through. Amen. God says, and we pray, Lord, do something new. And when he does, we think we can't have that. You know, we've never done it this way. You know, it's just true, really. They came back with nothing. Everybody had the harvest. They had nothing. And slowly by slowly, her determination to bless her mother-in-law, to push through in God, she goes through the leftovers, the drinking, the roasted grain, the whole thing, ate more than she had, and then comes to purposefully given handfuls. She comes to one ephah of grain. Isn't it marvelous? Now, it's saying something. So, verse 1, chapter 3, one day Naomi said to her mother-in-law, said to her, daughter, I need to try to find you a home where you'll be well provided for. In other words, she's thinking, we need to do something about relationships here. What about Boaz? So the mother-in-law was the marriage set-upper, arranger of marriages. Better not go down that track too far. But anyway, there it is. Go to Boaz. He'll be at the barn because he was winnowing the grain, the barley, on the threshing floor. She says, wash, anoint yourself, put on your best clothes. I've got time. We need to wash. We need to know the washing of the water of the word. We need to anoint ourselves, spirit. We need to put our robes, clothes of righteousness, right wiseness, righteous living, right living, don't we? Is that enough? You can think about that. In other words, prepare yourself as a bride to go to your future bridegroom. There's too much there. It's so brilliant. So it's in the middle of the night. So there they are. All the grain's there. And Boaz is sleeping. And he sleeps with his feet out of the door and his head inside. And he's asleep after rejoicing and all that sort of thing. And she is all prepared. And she creeps down. Dum, 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 dum. Dum, 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 dum. And she lays down at his feet, just pulls up his sort of robe and lies at his feet. He wakes up. Well, wouldn't you? Well, who are you? He said. And she says, I'm Ruth. And she said something strange. She says, spread the corner of your garment over me. I thought, well. Now, it's not like that. It's forget the physical erotic, forget all of that. There's something so, do you know what she was doing? By saying that, spread the corner, she was saying, Boaz, will you marry me? That's what she was saying. Listen, don't forget leap year. Just go and lie at their feet and say, will you marry me? As long as I don't kick you away, you're all right. She was saying, marry me. And he was overwhelmed by that. It's absolutely fantastic because he knew something very, very clearly in his heart. I can't go into it now. Absolutely amazing. You're the kinsman redeemer. And he says, the Lord bless you. This kindness is greater than that which you showed earlier. It's amazing, really. Don't be afraid, because I'll do. I'll marry you. He fell in love with her. This lovely man. Tradition would say that he died not long after she had Obed. But the purposes of God came to pass. That did something in the lineage. Well, they just stayed there that night. Remember, she's at his feet, not by his side. And as they wake up, he says, you better go now. He says, where's your robe? Where's your mantle? She says, here it is. He says, I want to give you something. And he pours a whole load of grain into the mantle. Do you know how much was in there? Not one, Ephah, but two. What does that mean? He gave her a double anointing. He gave her a double portion. Isn't that something else? Ooh, it gives me the old... Doesn't it, you? He gave her a double portion, which is fantastic, isn't it? And it all goes on. Now, I'll finish again now by telling you this story. You're so kind. Well, we've come a long way. Didn't seem very long in the car, did it? Oh, I thought we were late, so... There's Elijah and Elisha. Elisha had been with him maybe up to 8 or 10 years, and they're walking towards Jordan. And Elijah is trying to push him away, and he says, no, I'm coming through. He's very typical of Ruth, is Elisha. He says, I'm coming through. And they get to Jordan, it's in flood. So he takes off his mantle, smites the water, and it parts. And they walk through. Amazing, isn't it? And then Elijah says to Elisha, tell me, what would you want from me? And he says, I want a double portion of your spirit. He says, Blumenek. I'm not sure he said Blumenek, but I'll put that in. He says, you've asked a hard thing. I mean, what I think is this. How can a man give double of his spirit when he's only got one portion himself? How can he give double? Well, that's what he was asking. So Elijah says, okay, if you see me go up, it'll be yours. And as he said that, suddenly there was this colossal, how can we put it, hoo-ha. Because suddenly they got parted, and between them came horses and chariots that were on fire. It's a bit like a burning bush, but these were horses and chariots. Imagine, and it split them apart. And so Elisha, like me, I'm going, wouldn't you? Wouldn't your eyes sort of open wide and your jaw would drop because you've got horses on fire, not being consumed, chariots on fire. And as that was going on, suddenly flames came out of Elijah's feet. Now, I don't know whether they did or not, but he begins to go up. And where are you going to look? You're going to look at, what did he call Elijah when he was going up? My father. Why? Because he was like a son to the father. And did you know the Levitical law says firstborn sons, as in the spirit Elisha was, can ask for a double portion because it's theirs by law. That's what he was after. I'd be thinking, do I look at him going up or do I look at the manifestation of God? The horses and chariots. Remember that. There's something in there. Manifestations are legitimate, but don't miss something else that's going on. It's very important. And as he goes up, he cries, my father, my father! By the way, the horses and chariots remain. They come through the story. I think they came out on the day of Pentecost, don't you? And as he cries out, something falls from him. And it's like, can you imagine it? Like a bird. What kind of bird would you think it could be? It could be like a dove. And it came down, and it was the mantle. And he picks up the mantle, and suddenly... What was that? Whoa! Suddenly, he's received something. Isn't it incredible? And he goes to Jordan. This is the test. What does he do? He takes the mantle and smites it. The river. And what happens? He cries, where's the God of Elijah? Well, the God of Elijah became the God of Elisha. The water's open. And he goes through. It's probable that he did, probably, twice as many miracles as Elijah. I don't think that's the point, really. But he'd received something. When Jesus was being baptized, the Father, it says heaven open, it means heaven torn apart. And the Holy Spirit fell upon Jesus, just like a dove, of course, like this mantling. Isn't that marvelous? Day of Pentecost, Jesus says, wait in Jerusalem until you're mantled, clothed with power from on high. Same thing. You want to pursue? I want to pursue to the point of union, don't you? The point of union with our God through His Spirit is so, so important. I've thrown a lot in there for you to think about, to chew over, maybe. That's my goal, is to pursue God as a person. If we all can get somewhere in this and you come together, look out. Look out Edge Hill Uni, let alone Ormskirk or anywhere else. Look out, because you're going to have some great problems on your hands of broken, wounded, hurting people coming in here. And you have the capacity in God to bring life to them, haven't you?
Yes,
yes you have. Then you'll have to move out of this place. Hallelujah. Because it'll be a bigger place over there. Is it bigger over there? Is it? I'm glad about that, mate. Yeah. Okay. I'm going to pray, and that's it. I just want to challenge you before I pray. I'm sorry. No, I'm not sorry. I wonder where you are in God on the journey. You still in Moab? You're sort of there with Naomi, wondering whether you're going to get through. I want to pray for you. I'm not going to ask you to come out, but some of you might feel a little bit, I mentioned the word earlier, prodigal-like. Right at the end of this year, maybe you could make a response that could be covenant. I'm not going to put you into that thing, but giving your life over, totally lock, stock and barrel, is important, isn't it? Is that where you are? You might be somewhere on the journey with Ruth. But I tell you what I'm going for. It's double anointing. I didn't mention the threshing floor, by the way. There's another issue there. I want to pray for you. So if God is speaking to you about giving up, letting go, giving over your life. You might have been a Christian 100 years, doesn't matter. But I don't want you in Moab. I don't want you on the border. I want you right in the heart of God's purposes. Not gleaning for a few bits of leftover in the corners, but right in the middle of the field. Don't worry about the children coming in. That just brings life to me. If God's speaking, you'll stand on your head if there's hundreds of kids screaming. Doesn't matter. So I'm going to pray now, but 5 seconds time I'll start. If God is speaking to you, just stand up where you are and I'll pray for you as I make that prayer. 4, 3, 2, 1.